This summer, we are spending some time exploring the stories of God's original chosen family, the Hebrew people. We started with Abraham and Sarah, and now we're working our way down through their descendants. And today we'll take a look at Isaac and Rebekah with a focus on how they fell in love. We find their story in the 24th chapter of Genesis. And it tells the story of how Isaac and Rebekah met and how they got married. And so if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open to the 24th chapter of Genesis. And I'll read a series of verses, beginning with verse 34 through 38, then 42 through 49, and finally 58 through 67. It's a lengthy passage, but it helps paint a picture for their relationship, how they went from not knowing each other to being married. So let's listen now to this scripture from the 24th chapter of Genesis. So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he was given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son.' I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I'm standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son.' Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, 'Please let me drink.' She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, 'Drink, and I will also water your camels.' So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, 'Whose daughter are you?' She said, 'The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him.' So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left." And our final section, beginning with verse 58. "And they called Rebekah and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' She said, 'I will.' So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, 'May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes.' Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahairoi and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, 'Who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us?' The servant said, 'It is my master.' So she took her veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amen. Would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Our culture is obsessed with romance. Now, people like hearing a good love story, from the novels of Danielle Steele to the rom-coms playing in movie theaters. We enjoy seeing two people connect, fall in love, overcome obstacles, and live happily ever after. But that got me thinking, what does the Bible say about romance? Unfortunately, it says very little. Now, we do have in the Old Testament a book called the Song of Songs, which I think reads like an erotic poem. It should be rated at least PG-13, maybe R. And I think there are plenty of people who would like to not focus at all on that book. And if we do set aside that book, there is very little in the way of good love stories in Scripture. Yes, there are stories about marriages. There are stories about sex and adultery and jealousy. But rarely do we hear about two people falling in love and getting married. The closest we get is probably Isaac and Rebekah. And even that's a bit of a stretch, because the way they fell in love is so much different from the way we might say people fall in love today. And in their story, there's also a good bit of parental meddling involved. Now, before Isaac and Rebekah were a thing, Isaac's father, Abraham, was concerned for his son. Isaac was single, and he was still grieving the death of his mother, Sarah, who lived to the remarkable age of 125. Abraham believed that Isaac's heartache would be softened with some love. He thought his son needed a new reason to live. He thought he needed a wife. So Abraham wanted Isaac to get married, and he wanted him to marry someone in the family. Now, that's a disgusting thought to most of us, but let's remember that customs were a lot different back then. For starters, most marriages in the ancient Near East were arranged marriages. People didn't date like people date today. Parents were the ones who chose the spouse for their child. And most tribal people, like Abraham, preferred that their offspring marry from within their own clan. It's really the definition of kissing cousins, isn't it? Well, Abraham wanted to set up Isaac with a wife. And to make that happen, he instructed his servant, who we read about in the scripture, who is also traditionally known as Eliezer, to find the right woman to be Isaac's wife. And he told Eliezer to find her from among their kinfolk, living in the area of Haran, which is along the Euphrates River in northwest Mesopotamia. That was far away from where Isaac was living. But Abraham sent Eliezer there because he didn't want Isaac marrying one of those local Canaanite women. Now, Eliezer was rather savvy, and he apparently knew the best places where to meet eligible young women. And at the top of his list was the local watering hole. He went down to the well, and he waited there because he knew that was the place where young women would go as a part of their daily routine. And he was counting on the right woman coming forward, the right person that God had in store for Isaac. All he needed was a little sign of who that person might be. As it played out, Rebecca was the one who said all the right words and showed up at the right time. She was friendly and hospitable. She even offered water to Eliezer and his camels. But Eliezer still wondered if she was the one that God had intended for Isaac. Verse 21 tells us that he gazed at her in silence to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. Well, after praying and discerning what to do, Eliezer then took the next step forward by giving Rebecca some fancy jewelry. And that's definitely a good way to spark a romance. Those gifts indicated that he wanted Rebecca to be Isaac's wife. You know, giving gifts as a sign and as a commitment to love has really spanned the course of history. In our culture, we give engagement rings. But people in other cultures have different traditions. The Welsh, for example, exchange love spoons. These are intricate hand-carved spoons given as a sign of one's romantic intentions. In the 19th century, Finnish women would wear a sheath tied around their waist. If a man was interested in courtship, he would make or buy a knife to put in her sheath. If she was interested in the guy and seeing that relationship go forward, she'd keep the knife. But if she had no interest, she would return it. Now, some gift-giving traditions, I think, aren't all that romantic. And some of these are hard to understand why they were practiced in the first place. And we find one in Austria. Young women would come to a dance with a slice of apple crammed in their armpit. Now, they would dance all evening long, and at the end of the dance, each lady would pull out her apple slice and give it to the man that she most fancied. Here's the real part. If the man fancied her in return, he would eat the apple slice. Pretty disgusting tradition, in my opinion. By the way, I don't think Austrian men are all that sad that this ritual has been put out of practice. Now, Eliezer's gifts to Rebecca were certainly much more appealing than an apple slice. And they signaled that he wanted her to marry Isaac. But most of those arrangements were carried out by Rebecca's father and her brother. They worked out the details with Abraham's servant. Though, let's remember, Rebecca still had the freedom to choose what she would do. And it took her some time to make up her mind. And we really can't blame her. She had never laid eyes on Isaac. She didn't know what he was like. And she wasn't sure if she would accept the proposal to marry him. Of course, all those gifts caught her attention. And if she accepted the marriage proposal, she would instantly get flocks and herds and silver and gold. It looked like a sweet deal. But Rebecca really didn't know what she was getting into. But then again, does anyone really know what they're getting into when they get married? You know, marriage is something you discover and grow into and work at. And there's no way to know what will happen down the road. Rebecca had no idea what was in her future. She knew she'd get a husband and a bunch of fine gifts, but I don't think she realized how crucial she would be in God's plan. She had no idea that one of her sons, she had twins, that one of those sons would become Israel. And she had no idea that her 12 grandchildren would become the 12 tribes of Israel. She knew none of this, but she trusted the Lord. And that led her to accept the marriage proposal. Now, you may be thinking, where's the romance in all this? You put that in your sermon title, so where's the romance? Well, I think it shows up when Rebecca traveled to the Negev, where Isaac was living. The scripture tells us that she saw Isaac from a distance, slipped quickly from her camel, and put on her veil. And when Isaac saw her, he took her as his wife and loved her. Now, I know that's not as riveting as a movie like Sleepless in Seattle or When Harry Met Sally, but it's still kind of sweet. God was working to bring Isaac and Rebekah together. And one of the reasons for this was their need for companionship and friendship. Isaac was depressed, and he wanted a spouse, and God gave that to him. And Rebekah was a good match for Isaac. She was hardworking, friendly, and hospitable. She was even willing to pack up and follow God's call, similar to the way Abraham followed the Lord. Romance leads people to fall in love and get married. And when it's nurtured, the relationship grows, expands, and evolves. It helps people become good companions and friends. And it's never too late in life to get married. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. And it's not uncommon for people in our world to marry even later than that. I think about Ms. Bertha, who was my mission friends teacher when I was a kid. She got married at the age of 82. When her first husband had passed away, she never considered looking for another husband. She was happy with her life as a single woman. But then one of her friends put her in touch with a college friend from Wake Forest with whom she'd lost touch. And they immediately hit it off and decided that they would make good companions. And so they got married. And while they had only a brief marriage of 4 years, those 4 years to get together were full and rewarding. Just reminds me that God knows of our need for companionship and friendship because we are designed to be in relationship with others. But we don't all have to get married. There are other ways to develop deep and meaningful relationships. Often we just need some good friends. You know, God wants this for us, and He wants us to be good friends to others. It's part of God's will. And it was part of God's will for Isaac and Rebekah to marry each other. The Lord worked to bring those two together. And their love story invites us to consider how God is involved in our own relationships, especially in our love lives. Now, do you believe that God can guide you toward the right partner and help you grow a deeper relationship with that person? Do you invite God into your dating relationships? Do you invite God into your marriage? Now, this story certainly invites us to reflect on our romantic relationships. But I'll be honest with you, romance is not all that important to the scripture story we've read today. It is a nice detail that Isaac and Rebekah seem to have loved each other, but romantic love is not really at the heart of what God was doing in the book of Genesis, and it's not at the heart of what God is doing in the world today. Now, we spend a lot of time and energy in our culture pursuing, discussing, obsessing over, and celebrating romantic love. And to be sure, romantic love is a wonderful gift that brings joy to our lives. But it's a small part of what it means to be married. And it's an even smaller part of what it means to love. The love story between two people is only a glimpse of the much greater love story of God and the world. It was out of love that God created all of us. And every day, God showers love on us. That love serves as both an anchor and a springboard. It sustains us when we're struggling, and it empowers us to go out into the world and love others in the name of God. The real romance story told in the Bible is the story of God's love for you and me. It's the story of God's love for the world, opening our hearts to this gift. Will sustain us. It'll lift us up. And it will empower us to be a blessing to others. That was the mission that God gave to Abraham and Sarah. It was the mission that God would give to Isaac and Rebekah. It was the mission that God would give to the people of Israel. And it's a mission that God continues to give to you and me. Now, if you are struggling in some way today, if you don't feel loved, then I invite you to ask the Lord to fill your heart with love and to give you the support that you need. And if you're looking for purpose and direction in life, then take a moment to remember that God calls us to be a blessing to the world. And anytime we find tangible ways to love other people, we will be a blessing. And that always makes a difference. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you for your love. And we're grateful that you have created us to share life together with others. But we sometimes turn away from your will. We don't love as you have commanded. We take, but give little. We look out for ourselves instead of our neighbors. And so, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us, and we ask that you strengthen us to love so that we might be a blessing to the world. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.